Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, the Bennett Automotive Group, Brunswick Adventures, Marshland Credit Union, and by Jessup Furniture. And now, here's your host, Jason Bishop.
Welcome to the Camden County Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment of the Wildcats Coaches Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, the Bennett Automotive Group, Brunswick Adventures, Marshland Credit Union, and by Jessup Furniture. And now joining us, the head coach of the Camden County Wildcats, Coach Jeff Heron.
Good morning.
Good morning, Coach. Coach, let's just jump right in. A game where I think a Columbia team came down from Decatur that, in my opinion, was far better than what I thought they were for sure.
Well, I'll agree, Jason. Nobody is more embarrassed by the outcome. Nobody is more frustrated by the outcome. But I don't think anybody's more surprised by the outcome than me. I've said it to a few people I've talked to that there wasn't a moment this winter, this spring, this summer that, I felt like Columbia posed a real threat to our football team. And as a head coach, I should know better. If somebody's been in it this long, I should know, heck, I watched the United States beat the Russians in hockey in 1980, so I should know that, miracles can happen out there. But, after what happened last year, we felt like, okay, well, this is a nice little tune-up game, I guess. And, I'm not saying that our kids did, but I did. And when the head coach feels that way, I think your assistants and your team can sense that. And, I certainly provided the wrong sense of what might happen out there. And, yes, they were tremendously better than they were last year. They were a seasoned team. They won 8 games last year, went to Elbert County, beat them in the playoffs on the road, and had all those guys back. Plus number 5, who, made tons of plays all over the field. He had been hurt last year and did not play against us. He took that third play of the game, 85 yards on us. And so, again, it was a surprising outcome. But it's something we got to deal with and move on.
Coach, at the end of the game, I saw you walk over to their coach and give a really emphatic big hug. Is there a relationship there between you and their coach?
Well, it just started the last couple of years, I really didn't know him before last year, but he's an extremely nice guy. He is a very good coach, and, he had his team well prepared. And so, I actually went over after all that and went into the locker room and told their kids and coaches that, I said, look, guys, y'all, for you to travel down here, in heat of the day and get here late and all those things and still come out here and beat us, I said, my hat's off to you. And I said, now, if you don't go on and win at all, I might have to drive to Atlanta and kick you in the rear end or something, but they did a great job. They had a really good game plan. They were well coached. They looked like they had practiced for us all summer. And we looked like we had not practiced for them all summer. I'll leave it at that.
This is the Camden County Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, there was a point in the second quarter with around 8 minutes and change to go where we had run a total of 3 offensive plays. They really did a good job of eating clock and keeping our offense off the field, which I think was part of the reason what took place.
No question. When you can't get the ball back, it is absolutely the most frustrating thing for an offensive coach and, offensive team and play callers and everything. It's really frustrating. And they did. Now we helped them. We gave up a 4th and 5. We gave up a 4th and 35. But also, and I've talked to the Officials Association about this, and I guess every association is a little bit different, but I think they felt like maybe they didn't do it right. I don't want to say it in a bad way, but You know, it was like they administered the 40-second clock like you do the 25-second clock, or like you used to. So, you know, when the, you know, play's over and you get the change set and all the officials back out, you know, you would start the 25-second clock back in the day. Well, you know, the new rule is as soon as the runner's down, you're supposed to start the 40-second clock. And I did not feel like that happened. And, you know, again, I wouldn't have had a problem with it if we'd have been ahead, you know, but we weren't. And so, yeah, you know, it wasn't that they ran that many plays. It was just, it was taking almost a minute for every play they ran. And it affected us in the first quarter drive. It affected us certainly at the end of the game with that drive, you know, because we kick a field goal to make it a 3-point game. It's 6 minutes to go, and we don't get the ball back. So, you know, our offense did not play well. We didn't do a great job calling plays, but we didn't have many opportunities. You know, so we've got to play better on defense to get the ball back. We got to play better on offense when we get our chances. And you know, with all that said, Jason, and I think I told you this weekend, with all that said, if I had done a better job preparing our team, getting them properly motivated, and if I had made better in-game decisions, because we had chances to kick field goals twice, and I decided to go for it on fourth down, thinking, you know, surely we're going to pick this up. We've been moving the ball. You know, we need momentum. We want to take the lead, whatever the reasons were. If we had kicked those two field goals, we still win the game, in my opinion. So it was just a total cluster, and you know, and I'm the guy, the captain of the ship. So you know, I'm the guy that has to take the blame, and rightfully so.
More to come on the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery to get you back in the game quickly and safely. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons work with everyone from weekend warriors to high school and professional athletes. We'll design a game plan just for you. We'll help you navigate diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and physical therapy using the latest techniques and technology. And we'll even show you the best ways to prevent future injuries. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to learn more and schedule your appointment. That's 912-466-7340.
Are you looking for a better way to bank? Hometown people that you know? Look no further than Marshland Credit Union. Marshland Credit Union is here to help, no matter if it's a mortgage, car loan, or even finding financing for that boat you've always wanted. 7 convenient locations in Glen and surrounding counties, checking, savings, you name it. Marshland Credit Union wants to be the answer to your banking needs. MarshlandCU.com, 912-279-2000. Marshland Credit Union, a better way to bank. Buying a vehicle doesn't have to be a headache. Come to Bennett Auto Group in Kingsland for the easiest car buying experience you've ever had. Your number one hometown dealer in Camden and in the Southeast. Number one in volume. Number one in new cars. Number one in certified pre-owned. 2 locations to serve you a mile apart on Highway 40 in Kingsland. 912-729-5266 or 912-729-7100. The Bennett Auto Group, where you are treated like family. Welcome back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, the Bennett Automotive Group, and by Marshland Credit Union. Coach, during that football game on Friday night, you know, they, like you said, we didn't get the ball back after we kicked the field goal with, you know, 5:55, 6 minutes to go. And there at the end of the football game, there was a, you know, you got a flag for being on the field. And I'm assuming that the reason that you were on the field was talking to the official about the play clock. Talk a little bit about that particular rundown between you and the official and what actually happened.
Well, you know, first of all, I should never act that way to get called for being out on the field. I mean, that was just frustration coming out, and I apologize for that. But, you know, I did not notice in the first half that they were doing the 40-second clock like they were. I just really didn't pay attention to it. You know, I was focusing on the game. But, you know, there in the fourth quarter when they had the ball and they're trying to run the clock out, you know, I started noticing that, you know, look, they're not setting the 40-second clock and running it, you know, as soon as the runner's down. And so literally looked up and, you know, and we had it on film too, that, you know, we tackled the guy on, you know, the last on third down, which would have made it fourth down there, and there were 49 seconds on the clock. And they didn't set it until it was under 40. So they didn't have to run another play. They didn't have to give us a chance for one more, you know, Hail Mary pass or whatever. Probably would not have made a difference, but that was just my frustration of that whole drive of sitting there and watch them run about four or five plays in 6 minutes, you know. And, you know, we had used timeouts earlier, which, again, that was frustrating that maybe, you know, maybe we wasted one or two. I don't know. But, again, that – I shouldn't have been out there, but I was trying to get them to stop the clock and fix it. And they didn't like my they didn't like me trying to do that. I'll say it that way.
It's funny that you bring that up, because there were a couple of times when I was calling the games or calling Friday night's game where I felt like it was taking them some time. There was confusion. It was taking them some time to get set up. And I would look at the play clock, and I expected to see, you know, 10, 9, 8 with it running down. And I'd look up at the play clock, and there used to be 20 seconds on the play clock, which, you know, I was a little confused myself. So now that you say that, that makes a lot of sense, because I saw that too calling the game.
Well, again, I don't want to be critical of the officials. It was a good group of officials. They did a good job, I thought, in the game. I mean, the only call in the whole game that I had a problem with was the roughing the passer call on 4th and 35. But overall, it was a very good crew. But I just felt like the administration of the clock was not correct. And, you know, that's one of the issues, I think. You know, that 40-second clock is kind of new to everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's only been a few years now. And like last year when we played at Coffee County, I mean, heck, when the runner got close to hitting the ground, you know, it's like they were turning it on. But yeah, the other night, and you know, it helped us on offense some too, because, you know, there was a couple of times we had a little bit of confusion and stuff. And yeah, I looked up and we still had 30 seconds on the clock, you know, and I'm like, how in the world did that happen? But again, I wasn't paying as much attention to it as I did in the fourth quarter when it started becoming critical for us. So, you know, something I probably should have addressed with them at halftime. But, you know, again, I didn't, and we got to move on.
You're listening to the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, the touchdown we scored on the screen day, I thought was a fantastic play call. We lined up, had a couple of receivers out, called a screen for him, got a good block.
Well, it was actually Jamarly Riddle.
Okay, thanks.
It was actually Jamarly Riddle, and he did. It was well blocked, well designed, and Jamarly is very talented, and you know, we had him out as a receiver at that particular point. Sage was actually on the other side of the ball, but you know, yeah, and we needed that. You know, it. And again, you know, I guess I had elected not to go for a field goal a little bit earlier there, and you know, had we done that, you know, we would have made it a little closer in the first half. You know, so. You know, hindsight's 20/20, but it gave us some momentum going in at halftime, but we just weren't able to finish it off.
Coach, talk a little bit about what you said to your kids after that game. What do you say?
Well, you know, I said what I told you. You know, I apologize to them for not being better prepared. Apologize to them if, you know, that over the summer and spring and preseason that, you know, my feelings about the game and my thoughts about the game, even though they were not said, you know, possibly were inferred upon our team that, you know, we'll go out there and, you know, get this one behind us and then move on, you know, to the next week. And you know, I felt bad, but our kids didn't cost us that game. I mean, I did. And that's not coach talk. That's the truth this week. You know, sometimes as a coach, you say that to try to protect your team, you know. But, you know, if you were there Friday night, you had to wonder, man, is he lost his mind? Because, again, if no matter how badly we had played, no matter how bad everything gone, if I'd kicked those two field goals, you know, we'd probably still win the game. So I apologized to him, and, you know, I said what I try to always say, what's important now, W-I-N, you know, and we couldn't do nothing about it at that point. We have to try to put it behind us and move on.
We'll be right back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Family fun in the Golden Isles for all ages? Brunswick Adventures, family-friendly indoor play place. Bounce houses for the little ones and a trampoline park for all ages. Locally owned and operated. Don't forget the party rooms for your private events or that special birthday. Brunswick Adventures, 5581 Habersham Street in Brunswick, 912-342-7427 for more information. Or check us out online, brunswickadventures.com. Football season is here and we are going long at Jessup Furniture. Living room suits, dining room suits, patio furniture, luxury furniture at outlet prices, all the brands you like, Universal, Hooker, Ashley, and more. Jessup Furniture, over 50 years of helping people just like you. 651 Scranton Road in Brunswick, just down from Old Times, 912-267-1897, and look for daily deals on both Facebook and Instagram.
Welcome back to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment is brought to you by Brunswick Adventures and by Jessup Furniture. Coach, we move past the Columbia game. Leave it where it is now. We move forward, and it certainly does not get any easier on the schedule for this coming week. Brunswick High, we go up to Glenn County Stadium to play Brunswick. There's a lot of hype around that football team. A lot of people feel like they are a very good team. What stands out to you about Brunswick High?
Well, quite honestly, everything. Coach Bender told me when he left, and we saw him last year in an OTA and knew they were young and they were very good. But he told me that, you know, they felt like this might be the best team they ever had. That's saying something. Mm-hmm. You know, they've had some good teams there. But, you know, when we look at them on film, they don't appear to have any weaknesses. They're very, very good on defense with some tremendous physical-looking specimens of kids mm-hmm. out there. And then you turn around on offense, they've become very physical. I think the addition, you know, of some coaches there on the offensive side has made them even better at running the football. And, when you try to stop the run, they've got three guys on the outside at receiver all the time that just absolutely can play. And so you're kind of, you know, it's danged if you do, danged if you don't. You know, if you stack the box, they can beat you, you know, in any one-on-one matchups. And if you don't, they're just going to be content to run the ball. And, you know, then they've got a really good kicker and punter, and their return game is phenomenal. That scares me about as much as anything because, you know, two of those receivers are the return guys, and they're not afraid to catch it anywhere. And, you know, they don't need much blocking, and they can make you look bad. So, you know, I thought, you know, they looked really well coached last week against Jackson. And, they played hard. They played very well. They're explosive. And on defense, you know, it's hard to gain an inch on them.
Coach, I feel like that going into this game with what happened last week, that I thought when the schedules first come out and you see Camden Brunswick, of course, you know, you circle that game. Oh, that's one I want to watch. That's going to be a good one. And I feel like with what happened last week, that makes us a way more dangerous team now going into this Brunswick game. It for me, it almost creates a sense of this is a game that we're going to go get, because we're going to show everybody that we're better than what we played like last week. And we're going to come out, we're going to go up there, we're going to beat these guys on their home field. Do you get that sense from the kids?
Well, you know, we've had one day of practice right now, and, you know, it was a good practice, no question. We had a good day, and we kind of purged purged our souls out there, going a little bit old school yesterday to try to get that feeling out of our bodies. But, you know, I think it's too early to tell, to be honest, Jason. You know, our pride should be hurt. Our feelings should be hurt. I know mine is, you know, but I don't know if our kids are or not yet. You know, I hope it is. We've talked about it, you know, but until they get tired of, you know, until they get tired of losing, you know, we can't fix it. And I feel like we've got a good group. I feel like we've got some good leaders. And I feel like that, just like you do, that, yes, we should respond in that way. And, you know, one of the things that I'm going to tell them is that, you know, there's no more dangerous animal than a wounded animal that's backed into a corner. And, you know, we are a wounded wildcat backed into a corner that nobody, and I mean nobody, believes has a chance to win this game. Except me, maybe. I, you know.
Well, me too.
Okay, there's two of us out there. You know, I don't think my loyal golden retriever, Bama, even believes we can win after what happened last week. When you get picked as the biggest surprise upset in the state, you know, and then you got to go play a team like Brunswick at Brunswick, you know, you if you bet on the Wildcats and win, you're going to win a lot of money, you know. But, again, my job as a head coach is to figure out a way to convince our kids we can, that we're supposed to, and so we're expecting to. And we're working on it, but we're a work in progress.
Coach, you mentioned some of the things that you thought that Brunswick did that does well. Do you have a sense of what you think that you might have some success doing against them, or would you just rather not go into that?
Well, first of all, I'd rather not go into it, but secondly, right now, I can't figure out anything we can do against them, to be honest with you. But they're good. There's no question. The hype is real. And, you never know. I mean, they're all kids or teenagers. You never know how they're going to react. And, you know, our kids are going to play better because now they have played a game under the lights. And Kevin, Jason, it's not an excuse. I'm not going to make excuses. But we had 21 of our 22 starters were kids that did not either start last year, which was the majority of them, or started in a different position. We had three or four in different positions. So, you know, you trot out 21 kids that have never played in that position, or it's the first time playing, there's going to be problems. And, you know, hopefully we can get a lot of those problems solved this week in practice and become better. I will be really disappointed if we do not. Even if we do, though, might not be enough against the Pirates.
Well, you know, the Columbia game is what it is, but, you know, the Ashley Ridge game, I mean, we played great. So I think that's a testament that the abnormality was exactly that against Columbia. That the Ashley Ridge game is far closer to what this football team is than what Columbia was. The point I'm making is I feel like the Ashley Ridge game showed how talented this football team is.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, I came out of that scrimmage feeling really good about our football team. But, you know, and I think I told you this the other day too, you know, the first play of the game, I mean, gosh, we hit the guy in the mouth for a 5-yard loss. We had 11 hats on the ball. Everything looked great. Second play of the game, they try to throw a pass, and three of our best athletes on our team all had their hands on it, but we didn't catch it. And then the third play of the game, we had a guy in the wrong gap. We had a guy miss a tackle, and they had a, you know, Division I player that didn't play for them last year. And, you know, next thing you know, he's gone 85 yards, and you're down 7-0. And then we go 3-and-out, and they keep it for 12 minutes or whatever it was. And, you know, now we're down. We let them convert 4th-and-5, and we get called for roughing the passer on 4th-and-35. And now we find ourselves down 13-0. And absolutely, absolutely the worst opening scenario you could have with a young football team. And from that point forward, now, it was a struggle. Both sides of the ball, it was a struggle. Because we are young, and you know, at Ashley Ridge. We weren't perfect at the beginning, but, you know, we jumped on them pretty early. The other night, we got jumped on, and we didn't respond in a way that we should have. And so, you know, that's our struggle, you know, is we've got to learn to fight back, and we've got to learn to fight for four quarters. And you know, with a young team, you never know what you're going to get. kind of like Forrest Gump and a box of chocolates, you know. we don't know what we're going to get. But I've got faith in these guys, and I've got confidence in these guys, because with all that said, if I had done a better job coaching last week, we would have won. And so I've got faith that these guys are going to respond in the right way. And, you know, again, we're not going to be perfect this week. You know, might be good enough, might not, but we're going to get better.
Coach, what I know is that Jeff Heron has won 5 state championships, has put a ton of players to play college at the next, play football at the college next level, Division I kids, have put kids in the NFL. So there is no doubt that if there's anybody to get the thing right, it's Jeff Heron, because that man knows what he's doing. So we'll get it figured out, Coach.
Well, I appreciate your sentiments there, Jason, but, you know, a game like last Friday night certainly makes you doubt yourself. You know, I'm human like anybody else. But as I told our kids, I'm not going to coach from a place of fear. I'm not going to do that. You know, and I think last year and the way that happened, you know, being the first time I'd ever endured a losing season, I think, you know, the other night when we got behind, that I coached a little bit from a place of fear that I hadn't done since I was a really, really young head coach. And I had to learn that lesson back then, and I think I learned it the other night again. And you know, I'm not gonna let that happen again. I'll have our teams prepared, and I'm gonna do a much better job coaching. And you know, good Lord's got a plan. And you know, being humbled sometimes when you need to be, or you know, being told that you don't know as much as you think you do, it makes you work harder. And so it's made me work harder. It's made our staff work harder. It's made our kids work harder. And that's a good thing. All those are positives that we can take away from last Friday night. Sure, we'd like to be 1-0, and we would have liked to have not been embarrassed by everybody in the whole stinking state. But we were, and we're not 1-0. So what are we going to do about it? You know, are we going to fight? Are we going to try to fix it? Or are we going to just sit there and take our wounds? And I told our kids yesterday, I used this example, and I said, you know, my granddaughter's one of their favorite movies was Frozen, you know, where Elsa sings Let It Go. Mm-hmm. And I told him yesterday, I said, look, I'd sing it to you, but I don't know the words. I should, as many times I heard it. But, you know, if we don't let that one go, it's going to cost us another one. And so hopefully we'll be able to let it go and get our focus where it needs to be.
I have a saying in life: when you're not an astronaut, don't tell an astronaut how to be an astronaut. Well, thank you for joining us for the Camden County Coaches Show with Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. For Coach Heron, I'm Jason Bishop, signing off.